The sermon title today, my friends, is Doing the Right Thing. What's the sermon title again? Now, I like this sermon today, and I'm not even going to call it a sermon. I'm going to call it more an exhortation. How do you like that? All right? Because I want to follow on what Paul was trying to do. He was trying to make a little practical message for the individual Christians congregation of that day, specifically Thessalonia. The Thessalonian church. But the thing is that this is very applicable to us as a congregation for the here and now. Somebody say amen. Amen. The purpose of this letter, as a matter of fact, it's the second letter. It's a second letter, so that must mean that there was a what? Yeah, but the thing is the second letter came, it seemed that it came very, very fast. Because there was a misunderstanding of this first letter that was already sent. And it was sent to correct certain misinterpretations of Paul's teaching. And you know what that teaching was? That teaching was the teaching about the return, the anticipated return of Christ, that they somehow, some people, some congregants had misinterpreted. Now you see, some converts to Christianity had taken the position that since Christ was about to return, was soon to return, there was no need for them to work. You understand? That's what they were interpreting. And some of them took this position. They assumed that other members of the faith community would help, would support them. A position that illustrates a saying about some people being so heavenly minded that they do not do earthly good. Now, Paul instructs people to work to support themselves, even as he had done while he was among them. He was trying to lead by what? Example. And he said, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. I know some of you are already thinking, I wonder if I should talk about this to my kids. Well, if you don't do your chores, Abdiel, he's not here today, by the way. Well, I don't think that's what he wanted to say. Well, people do take this out of context, though. If you listen to it at the beginning, let's go over that again. Anyone unwilling to work should not, what? Now, doesn't that sound kind of harsh? But this verse is not implying that those who are unfit to work, those who are unable to find work, should be denied of the support of the community. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about, and it doesn't mean that the government should stop giving help either or anything like that. If there is some kind of need, the vulnerable are always among us. And the vulnerable are always deserving of some care and some support on our part. Amen? The verse was directed at those who had stopped making an effort to provide for themselves. And they were using the wrong rationale. The rationale that if Christ was about to come, why should I get all worked up? Oh, it's not necessary. That was the wrong rationale. Paul's letter clearly sets the principle that freedom in Christ is not a license, though, to be lazy. Somebody say lazy. We don't have any lazy people here, do we? Okay, sometimes. Sometimes I feel lazy myself. But this is not a license. This rationale that they were thinking that was what we were supposed to be doing was not the right rationale. We shouldn't be a burden to others. If we go to verse 6, we can hear some words that also sound a little harsh. Ernest read it from another version, but this is what my version said. Keep away from believers who are living in idleness. Am I saying the right way? Am I pronouncing it right? Idleness? Well, laziness. That's what it means, to tell you the truth. That's what it means. And not according to the tradition that they have received from us. Remember that Paul was giving the example. He was leading by example. And that example was to be followed by the way Jesus Christ. Remember, he was the Son of God, and he served till death, actually. He served with his life. So I know, I mean, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, served, who are we not to serve? Somebody say amen to that. It seems so uncharacteristic for Christians to be told not to have anything to do with others who happen to profess the same faith because they're not doing the same things. And this is where we need to be pastoral and take care of each other. Because it doesn't mean either that we put other people down because they're not willing to do the work that we want them to do at the moment. Maybe sometime they will, but we have to continue to involve them. Amen? Do you understand where I'm coming from here? Okay. But rather than setting limits on generosity and social action, the letter that Paul was writing to these people, these members of the community, was to contribute to the well-being of all, to the community of faith. You all know this is a community of faith, right? Amen? You all know we're family, right? Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're family. Yes. And we need each other. How many of you know that in a household, people need each other? We need each other at church. This is a living body, the body of Christ. That's what we are. Amen? So we need to contribute for the Thessalonian congregation and for our own. It's not enough for the contributions of a few to justify others doing little or nothing to help ensure that the services of this church, the ministries of this church, will be there available for other people in the future. We all have to pitch in to do that. We can't let other people do it because they're doing it. Why don't you jump in and do it also? We have room for you. All of the committees, all of the ministries we have at church, we need you. We love the people that are working now, but we need more people to put their hands in motion and their feet and their hearts. Look into the big eyes of the pastor. I need you. Your church needs you. Don't think because there's so many people working, we don't need you. We do. And the more, the merrier. Hallelujah. Do you agree with me? Amen. That didn't sound very convincing, though. Amen? All right. Paul invites here all brothers and sisters in Christ not to be weary, not to get tired of doing right. From the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, we learn about three people, including Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They had been making a point that wherever they would go and they would serve as those itinerant preachers, they would also work there in the congregation. And they would not just hold on to their authority and titles of fame or whatever. They are not there to be served. They were there to serve themselves. They served everybody. They put their hands on to work. Hallelujah. They did this to avoid being a burden to the host and congregation. My friends, I'm going to say this, and not for you guys, not to boast about myself. It's because I've been working since I was a little kid. In Puerto Rico, I was working since I was a little kid. In the farm, wherever I was working. I remember the first time I went to a church. It could have been this church. It could have been whatever church, but I'm not going to tell you which church it was. And we were doing some stuff at the church, and all of a sudden, people saw the pastor carrying bags of garbage and going to the dumpsters and all that kind of stuff. And pastor, what are you doing? Let somebody else do that. What? I don't have hands. I'm no more special than you are. I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor of the church, but I'm here to serve. And if I have to roll up my sleeves, and I have to get a little dirty, and I have to throw away the garbage, and if I have to serve food, and if I have to do whatever I have to do, I do it because that's the example Jesus gave me, and I am to serve also. I'm not going to let anybody do something that I know I could do too. Am I the only one excited here today? I was a little sad last week, did you notice? But today I'm good. I'm excited because I'm talking about something that inspires me. The opportunity to ask you to get involved. In whatever you think you can be of any help, get involved. I have to say that it's very possible that Paul knew who those people that were not doing what they were supposed to do were. And I just say that because it's not that he wanted to get any people to shame or anything like that. He wanted to help them. I'm not saying this here to tick some people off here today. Oh, pastor, what are you asking me to do? I mean, if you're doing something already, keep doing it. But if you're not, what's going on? Where are you serving? God called you. Isn't that true? I mean, what are you doing? Are you here just to receive or are you here to give? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm having fun today. My friends, there is no forced public outing for individual offenders here. I try to learn from this. Because as a pastor, you want to do this all the time. You want to involve people, and sometimes the message is not received or even interpreted the way I want it to. But all I'm trying to do is I'm having fun being a son of God. I'm having a child of God, of being a minister, of serving, and I want you to do the same thing. And if I want that only for myself, how great it's been for me. If I don't talk to people about how good it is to serve in the kingdom of God, I'm doing myself a disservice and the church and the congregation and Christianity. So I invite you all to get involved. So this letter was to help people. Have you ever heard of giving a little boost? Go ahead and tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Go ahead. Tap. Nobody stays on tap. There's somebody right there. John, somebody go over there and tap him right now. Tap him. There you go. Hallelujah. Well, that's a reminder. I saw you. And Jesus is saying it all the time. Oops. Hey, I saw you. Don't hide. I need you. I'm counting on you. I want to use you because I called you. Hallelujah. The letter speaks to the issue at hand in a way that is direct, in a way that is clearly understood, but at the same time, it's lovely, it's pastoral, but it's firm. And it's gentle. And with this, I'm going to finish today. Somebody say, ah. Okay. The emphasis in the closing paragraph that we had is not to exclude anyone from fellowship. No, that's not it. but to encourage all the members of the faith community to hold themselves, to hold one another accountable. Accountable. We're in this together for the good, for the benefit of all. This model that we're talking about here that Paul tries to instill is a model that is urged at a time where the general expectation was Jesus is soon to come. Now, I don't know about you, but if whenever that happens, Jesus is supposed to come, I want him to find me with my boots on. I want him to find me working. I don't want him to say, well, I'm here, what are you doing? No, I want him to find me doing something for somebody else in the name of Jesus Christ. This is a model that we have to continue to have. This is a reminder. Whether Jesus Christ returns sooner or later, our commitment is to take care of each other now. Ahora. Somebody say ahora. Ahora. This work is an important expression of Christian ministry. And oh, sometimes it can be hard. Working at the kingdom of God is not always easy. Somebody say, oh no. But you know what? It's well worth it. And working in the kingdom of God, working in the church, sometimes it's hard, it's tiring, it's frustrating. It can be a lot of things, but it's well worth it. Because don't ever forget that you are doing this for God first. It sometimes can be hard and tiring. But in our own day and time, we hear this invitation. We hear it again today, and it's telling us, do not be weary in doing what is right. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Because it's the Christ thing to do. May God bless you. Let's do the right thing. Let us all serve. Amen. God bless you all.